Special Ways and Means Committee Budget Workshop, 1 p.m. on Wednesday, March 16th. Call the meeting to order and acknowledge that the press and public have been duly notified of the meeting in accordance with the Freedom of Information Act. So let's get started. So here's what I would like to. We've got a couple of copies of the budget. If somebody, does anybody need a hard copy of the big honking budget? You do? Just a wave. Does anybody want a hard copy of the budget? All right, we got a hard copy of slides in front of it just so you can see those a little bit easier. We're going to run through the few assumptions that we have in the draft budget. So this is our first draft sitting in front of you, which you've seen on file. We're going to look at all the key budget initiatives that are in draft one. We're going to do a quick revenue review for you, an expense review, and then talk about what we want to include or not for draft two. Right? What I'd like to do is be able to run through, I mean, you can ask questions whenever you want, but run through all the slides, and then we'll come back to the initiatives and talk about what we want to leave in and what we want to take out. Because right now, everything's just a placeholder, if you will, in the budget. Obviously, I haven't spent the money yet. It's just a line item, and we're here today to talk about what we want to leave in or take out. All right? Fair enough? First, any history buffs in the room? Do you know what year and what purpose the Secret Service was created? Jimmy Ward.
I think. Was it 1913? Earlier than that?
I got 1864.
That is so far off, it's not even possible.
The great Tom says it.
Kevin.
1867.
Actually, July 5, 1865. Right. You know what the purpose was? So think about the time period of history. Oh, you're going again after that first answer?
Assassination of Lincoln.
Wrong. You're two for two.
That's 0 for two.
Something about the Treasury Department?
Yeah. Yeah. Counterfeit.
Yeah.
Counterfeit. There was a third to a half of the U.S. currency was counterfeit after the Civil War.
Kind of like today.
All right, Rusty, now we're going to get into your century.
Okay.
Oh.
You know what year the duties changed affecting the U.S. president? All right, so come forward from 1865.
It's before my birth.
Was it?
Thank you, ma'am.
Thanks for hearing me. I love
you, too.
1872.
Now, come on forward. Keep going.
1963?
1901.
Mm-hmm.
And guess on the event?
Assassination of, Garfield?
McKinley.
Yeah.
Right. It's more than just about budget.
So far, I've flunked out.
All right, so our budget assumptions. So, roughly, we're going to look at revenue here just a minute in a little more detail. Tourism, big driver, obviously. We're assuming 90% of the last 12 months. Okay. So, you know, we've had really good hospitality, accommodation tax revenue. We're obviously being a little bit conservative using a 90% number. Okay. It's the way Debbie likes to do things. We all like to do things. It's not just on you, Debbie. Expense side, we talked about this late last year. We're using a 95% staffing rate for the police department, given our past experience with stuff. Well, great if it's 100%, but we're going closer to reality than it's been the last couple of years. 2.5% merit or step based on wages effective 1/1/23. Then we adjusted the fuel price assumption that's in our budget, 450. No increase in headcount, but does include some overlap for our finance director. There, it's out there publicly, Debbie. I thought Debbie and I had an agreement. Obviously not. So we want to have some overlap for when Debbie leaves next year, to have a few months that we'll have some overlap to for training and such. And same thing in the public works department with our foreman position, to have some overlap before retirement. Just a reminder, where we transfer money from our tourism funds, about $1,229,000 rough numbers, and you can see what those are for. 4 police officers, police sergeants, 6 firefighters, BSOs, 50% of public works, temp labor, fuel, $20,000 for the police department overtime, and public restroom attendance. So that's transferred from the tourism buckets into our general fund to pay for those particular items, okay? And then the last one is, after you take all the revenue, take all the expense, that's what we're projecting, roughly $1 million to transfer from general fund to capital projects fund at the end of the year. That one's very fungible, if you will. That'll just be whatever the real experience is by the time we get to the end of the year, but that's where we're assuming it right now. Questions on any of that? Will we keep rocking? So our key budget initiatives, this is on page 2, I think, or 3 of the big honking document, budget document. These are all the bigger line items from an expense standpoint that we have in this year's budget. Phase 3 drainage, construction 30th and 36th outfalls, which is $2.6 million. You may be saying to yourself, where's 41st next year? 24, fiscal 24. Other drainage projects, small drainage projects, $500,000, completion of our comprehensive drainage plan of $200,000. In there right now, basically, you know, we had a conversation last night, and we'll have some more today. Improving the public dock of $450,000, the T-dock for $1.3 million at the marina. Complete installation of public green space around the new public dock at the marina for $100,000. Maintain, renovate, construct beach access paths for $250,000, and then if I remember right, we have $250,000 for a number of years to just kind of start chipping away at this, right? And then underground electrical line projects, we have $245,000 over 3 years for that particular piece. Rec center, reconstruct and reconfigure outdoor basketball courts, $150,000, and construct 2 pickleball courts, $75,000. Fire department, buy a second set of bumper gear for our staff, $136,000. The merit and wage adjustments we talked about earlier, that'll be $131,000. And then kind of a variety of contracted professional services, grant writing, public relations, traffic engineer assistance, lobbyists, short-term rental analysis tools. Questions on any of the initiatives? I thought somebody was coming in. Okay. Questions on any of those before we'll come back to the initiative, because that's where we need to spend some time and talking about what's in, what's out. But any high level questions before we move on? We're going to be done by 1:30 or so. All right. So from a revenue standpoint, I thought it'd be helpful just to give you some comparison of what we're doing. When we talked about, we're assuming 90% revenue from the last 12 months on the tourism money. So I want to give you a feel for actual fiscal 21, what we budgeted for fiscal 22, what our forecast is for fiscal 22, and where we're drawing our budget and whatever that increase is. So we're bumping revenue, you know, we're bumping revenue about $2.7 million this year from our budget of fiscal 22. So pretty, even though we're conservative with the 90% number, still a pretty decent increase from a revenue standpoint. And this is not all our revenue, so it's not going to tie exactly to the budget document, but these are the biggest contributors to our revenue line items. Questions on revenue? Nothing.
What's the assumption on the marina revenue?
What do you mean, assumption? So well, it's the restaurant open for a full year.
Yeah, but on the marina itself, isn't there some threshold that has to be hit that you get a certain amount of profits over it? Is it
for both restaurant and marina.
So you're just basing it on the previous year? And, okay.
Yeah. Now, are you using Morgan Creek Grill history to
estimate?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
We went back to the tool that we developed when we were negotiating the lease of the new restaurant and the assumptions we made there about when additional rents would kick in. But I believe the additional rents don't kick in for the first couple of years.
That's correct.
So this would just assume their base rent
on the restaurant. Yeah.
That's right.
On the restaurant.
Yes.
On the restaurant, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You'll recall that there was a $40,000 amount that was due by the restaurant that was deferred, and that is captured in FY 23 because they have a year from opening to pay that.
What else on revenue assumption? So this one page, which is also included in the file Desiree and Debbie have sent us, this kind of takes all 65 or 70 pages of the document and pulls it up to one page from a revenue and expense standpoint. So this gives it by type on the left-hand side and across the top at a fund level. So you can see we're projecting revenues at $22.5 million, rough numbers. Expenses, $24.7 roughly. And you can see our fund balance is in blue across the middle of the page. And again, a best guess, Debbie, I think last night at Ways and Means, this 30.5 was at 31.2 or 31.3 projected to end the year with. So that number may be actually be a little bit higher from a fund balance standpoint. Questions, thoughts, anything? Yes.
For the benefit of the press, you want to talk about why we have expenses greater than revenue, just briefly. Right.
Go ahead.
Well, the city historically transfers in money from our tourism funds to support operational expenses associated with police, fire, and public works. So that transfers in will be usually the flood number that we utilize to make up the total.
Are you looking at the pie graph chart?
Here. Right.
Well, if you think about it, like for instance, we talk about how we've got unspent bond proceeds. Mm-hmm. Those have been recognized as revenue. So we're spending those in FY 23, but there's not revenue coming in. That revenue came in
earlier.
Claire.
The capital expense for the Marina Fund, $1.8 million, is that what we talked about last night for the new, is that an assumption based on?
Yeah, so we have $1.8 in our key budget.
Yeah, in here, which would have been the Cadillac choice on redoing the value.
Do we talk about here in just a second?
Okay. Yeah.
But you're right, that's what $1.8 million.
John, that was
$1.8 million is the option one on each project.
Right.
Sorry.
Which is a refurbishment.
Right.
Existing.
Yeah, the Cadillac's more like 3.4.
Yeah. John?
I don't know. Back up a little bit to revenue.
That's all right.
I know I asked at Ways and Means about the impact that current inflation, gas prices, consumer sentiment, what's going on in the world could impact tourism. And that was more for this year, but as I look at next year, what we're budgeting is 90% off of a very, very high year. And if you look back at historical 2021, it's quite a jump. I just don't know do we have any kind of indication from any of the CBD type organizations or anybody that's trying to look at the impact of what's going on in the world to tourism and what it mean to our local area.
Yeah, I mean, we all get an Explore Charleston email monthly, quarterly, that shows future bookings and occupancy rates and such. I mean, it's very strong.
Yeah, but it doesn't project out, right?
It
does?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I haven't seen that. So there's no change in anything in what we're seeing.
Not anything I've read.
Not so far, whether they, will revise those projections to account for what you're saying. I think that would be helpful. We just haven't seen that other than really strong forecasted projections for accommodations in our area.
Matter of fact, we've been pretty bullish about it because we've got, managed some more direct flights at the airport, mm-hmm. San Francisco, Las Vegas, a couple other places. Everything I've heard has been bullish so far.
Because I do know that other segments of discretionary income significantly. discretionary expenses, excuse me, people expending things that they don't have to on luxury items, other types of has decreased quite a bit. So it's just a caution that we're coming off 90%, but in which you'd think it'd be conservative, but it's off of a very, very high year.
I can email Perrin and get his take. We've done that in the past at budget time.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that he's not seeing something that we need to
account for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on the flip side of that, though, turmoil in Europe could drive up tourism in Charleston because everybody's staying home.
Mm-hmm. Which is what we've experienced for the last 2 years with COVID.
Even without that, in the 70s, when for those of us old enough to remember that, when gas prices went up, the Myrtle Beach area, I know, dropped because people that were going to other places for vacations went to Myrtle Beach.
Which, again, for the last few years, cruises haven't been active, international travel hasn't been. John, to your point, you know, are people going to start doing that as opposed to the, you know, 5 to 7 hour drive to IOP? Again, nothing we've seen so far is taking us there, but from an assumption standpoint. And we did adjust the gas price, John, to your question last night too, you know, in our budget to a $4.50 a gallon for what we pay. So.
Yeah, Donnie just told me on the way in here that he got a shipment of fuel today, unless it was $3.77.
Good work, Don.
That's marine grade.
Yeah.
So that made us feel pretty good about the 450.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that you bring a really good point and something that we need to monitor in the next few weeks, you know, just seeing how that plays out. We have some time between now and ratifying the budget, so I do think that we should keep an eye out on and try to get a little bit more information about these forecasting to see if we need to pivot in some way.
It'd be good to have a worst-case scenario, mm-hmm. just so we know where we fit. We're not too far above it, we're okay.
Jimmy?
Just a quick point on people are like COVID out, and they're going to travel, and I was just one small indicator talking to a friend of mine has a home in Costa Rica. We were talking last night, and usually the flight round trip down there and back is about right around $400, and they're going next week, and cheapest tickets they can find was over $1,000. So people we don't know, we have a crystal ball, we'd be great. But I'm thinking that people are just going to be traveling in their cars more. It seems to, there's conflicting reports that gas prices might be leveling out. I've heard others that are still going up. So, but I think COVID is when people are ready to go.
Mm-hmm. But you could pay my way to go on a cruise, personally.
I've done all the cruising I want.
Do we know what our rental agencies, do we have any clue as to how their bookings are looking at this point?
Yeah, we can follow up again and get more current information. They are, I mean, my conversations with them are very strong, very high room rate night, strongest they've ever had. And they don't see that stopping. You know, the inventory's down a little bit on rental. I know our planning commission is looking at some of that, but you know, they're active. When you do look at the Explore Charleston stuff and the average per night rate that's on IOP, yeah. It's very high. And then again, the ones I've talked to don't seem there's no change coming. Okay. Yes, sir.
You can certainly look at the garbage tonnage and see. For a month ahead of what normally happens, mm-hmm. garbage tonnage is consistently up. Just yesterday, we were 2:30 getting in from the Lagoon Rock, so there's lots of people coming now.
No.
Go ahead,
my whole point, I do agree. I don't think there's been an impact up to date, but boy, this budget is for June of this year to June of next year. So if this continues, which you know, we can all debate for hours whether it will or not, but if it does, the question is whether that long of a sustained increase overall inflation in general in prices would impact tourism. That's my only question.
Yeah.
And I don't have the answer to it. I'm just raising it as a concern.
Yeah, and nobody does. Yeah. I mean, we have this conversation every year in this room. And to everybody's point, you can go off anecdotal stuff with friends. You can read CBB stuff. You can talk to our property managers on the island. And it's all very bullish, whether everybody's right or not. John, to your point, who knows?
Yeah.
But, again, I think our throttle factor is the 90% to not think we're going to stay at levels that we have experienced for the last 2 years.
So, quick point, if I may. We've never had to, that I can remember, but we always have the option of amending.
That's right.
Good conditions point. Change.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've never done that before. Have you? Can you remember that? We've never done that.
Yeah.
I was just going to point out that if everybody would feel more comfortable with 80%, we could do that because, we plan on ending the year with almost $4 million in fund balance on tourism. So we wouldn't have to not do anything that's in the budget, even with less revenue.
Yeah. Coming into the year with somewhere between $30 and $32 million in fund balances, which about half of it's restricted. I get that, but some of it we could use for our capital project pieces. That's what gives me a pretty good feeling, quite honestly, to be coming in with that kind of a cash balance. And again, all our expense numbers, other than personnel, they're just ink on the page. We a lot of it's discretionary spending that we can very easily change if we get into the year and we see something or something world event changes or whatever, we can very easily pivot and do something different. But,
yeah, and I wouldn't suggest we change it either. And tossing a coin, whether it's 80 or 90.
Sure.
Unless we have some data from some reliable source that would suggest that this is what's going to happen, and then we would do it. But where we are with the information we know, I think it's good. Where you have it. I would encourage us to continue to be on the looking at the organizations that track this or forecast these type of things and see if they're suggesting something different.
Yeah, good point. Okay, what they say about you, your hand. Craig, not to put you on the spot, but I don't know if everybody's met Greg Olivares, our new fire chief. Taking time out to join us. We appreciate that. All right, eye chart. This is in your package. It's just a really nice high level where the money comes from, where the money's going. So you can just see the percentage breakout of where our revenue comes from, where our big expense numbers are in the budget that we've got it built. Last eye chart page is our debt schedule. Kind of nice to finish on that. We have one debt issue rolling off this year. The building we're in, Norma Jean's out of debt this year.
Right.
So that rolls off in 23. Our next debt rolling off is in 26, I think it is, fire station number 2. You can see the rest of it rolling off there. If I remember right, I told you not to put this on the page, but our debt limit is probably another $10 million, give or take, based on appraised values. But that's just a point of information, not that we would ever bump that. But I think that's about where we are. All right, so if we go back to budget initiatives. Or could you stand one more trivia question? Any idea what year and who bought and renamed the IOP?
J.C. Long.
Wrong.
Doctor. Yep, that's right. Doctor, what was his name? It was like 1890 something, wasn't it?
Yep. Jimmy's in Fuego, man.
He's old in the dirt.
And that's on the public record right there.
What was that?
Long Island. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
1899, J.S. Lawrence.
Right.
Lawrence.
That's
right.
Lawrence. That's why Lawrence's.
Oh.
What was Lawrence's?
restaurant, the new banana command that for us, right?
Yes, that's what it is.
So we'll do one more IOP and then we'll get back to it. So what year did J.C. Long make the purchase?
Oh, what is it? 49, 50, 51, something like that?
47?
46.
46.
46.
46.
End of the war.
Yeah, end of the war, sorry.
Yeah.
Another story in there, how J.C. Long got built. All right, so let's focus next few minutes. If we need to take a break, just give me a wave at some point. But let's just focus the next few minutes on the expense side of the equation and talk about what we want to leave in, take out, adjust. Blair, kind of your comment, question on the ATM conversation last night. That's certainly one we need to have. You know, phase three drainage, we are way down the path there, and we've done the bond issuance last year, year before, so I'm not sure that's one we can do much about at this point.
We're also under contract.
Well, there's that. And they're starting in a couple of weeks. So as you go through these key budget initiatives, let's set aside the public doc and the T-docs for just a second, because that's a big conversation. What's in there that's causing you heartburn or pain or want to leave in, want to leave out? Jane?
My first question is, what's the $1.4 million in the grant application we got for drainage going to be used for?
41st.
Okay, so that's not in this budget.
It's a fiscal 24.
Okay, thank you.
Because we are going to fight to get 30th and 31st and 36th in this fiscal year, this next fiscal year. Okay. So it'll be a fall of Blair?
From my perspective, and Donnie, you might tell me I've lost my mind, but from my perspective, it seems like that we should be more aggressive in burying electrical lines. And so I just need to throw that out there. That doesn't seem like we're really spending very much money doing that. And maybe we should be more aggressive.
Yeah, and possibly, but let me give you, we started 21st, the project on 21st, 2 years ago, with Duke. We're still in Charlotte. Dominion.
No,
year and a half, some number.
About a year.
Yeah. And they're still not a shovel in the ground. And that is a very small underground project, mm-hmm. You know, for them to pull off. I think it's, I don't disagree, I'd love to do much more, but I think it's a bandwidth on their side, as well as our side to some extent. But, and I guess, Debbie, this is not $245,000 each year, it's $245,000 for the next 3 years.
Correct.
Our piece of it, you know, Dominion's paying half.
Which that's not very much.
No.
Philip, we, if I remember correctly, we identified four different areas
right.
that we wanted to go underground. You know, and part of the decision-making process that we came up with was, you know, in and around tourism too, the tourist season. And this was the one I think at 21st it made the most sense at the time, but. But it was four projects initially, is that right?
Yeah, so there are four projects, and I think we wanted to start with a small project to you know, see how it went, and the second project would be the marina. But we are limited because of, again, our season and not wanting to just, you know, do big projects that would disrupt traffic and whatnot. We're limited to very, you know, a few months out of the year. So it's really, we've talked about this at length, it's not realistic for us to plan for more than one project a year because of that.
Well, is this fire and police and public works, y'all support burying the lines, or you'd rather have them overhead?
If I can speak for the fire side, if the chief's okay, I come from Oak Island where all our lines are underground. And what it does for me as a citizen is I have less outages. What it does for the emergency services is they have less issues with the utility lines. But that's just, again, my fault. I'll defer to Chief.
It also reduces any kind of overhead obstructions that we have in our operations, which is beneficial, safer for our crews, less issues with disconnect on a house during a storm or anything like that.
So So the only people that are against burying the lines appear to be me.
They're not against it. Again, it's a bandwidth issue. For how many projects can you happen in really a 9-month building season, if you, for lack of a better term? Because and it's split, you know, sure. January, May, and then last part of the year. So it, Dominion is very willing. I mean, it's some of it we're driving over our tourist season. And again, we've been on this one really small project for over a year now, trying to get it done. So. And we could sort of put more money in the budget. I don't think we're going to get the projects done.
I believe they only have one engineer that actually designs the project. So I don't know if it's one for our area, but they certainly could use with more resources.
And they have to coordinate with all the other utilities, that sort of thing, too.
That's right.
All the underground stuff to make sure they're not burying a line on top of something.
We could certainly put some more money in the budget. I think, you know, from a realistic standpoint.
This is not really a budgeting problem idea, but a programming one. If it takes so long to get on the books and get the projects going, shouldn't we automatically having a program with them that says, after this project, we're going to do this, the next one, and the next one?
Yes.
That's the four we have lined up.
And you have them lined up with them?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and we just need to budget for them at the appropriate
time. That's correct.
Okay, good. That's what I'm going
to
do. Okay. So, Larry, just to help me. Dominion, there's so much growth all over the place that Dominion is way behind trying to just catch up with subdivision.
Right.
And is underground better than overground or overhead? Absolutely, because you never see any new developments with overhead power lines anymore. So everything's underground. I think they're just crazy busy. Plus, you've got to get on their budget year. They've got to get it in the budget to be able to spend it. So that's why we've gotten ahead with at least the four of the projects to kind of stay ahead of it. But it would be great to get everything.
Yeah, to move faster. Yeah.
Every time you get a 40 mile an hour wind, a transformer goes out. So.
Rusty.
Yeah, Desiree, refresh our memory on how the Dominion funds that we share half and half on this underground. So that those dollars that are in there from Dominion, they roll off after a while too, right? After a couple of years?
Yeah, they roll off after 5 years, but then we pick up a year.
Right, it gets replenished.
That's right.
Yeah, and we've never used any of those funds before.
We have, years before. I'm not sure if we've done it for underground utility lines, but we've done lighting here. We did lighting at Front Beach. That program is very specific about the eligible activities. So it's more for decorative lighting and undergrounding utility lines. So we've used it for that before.
And we could certainly, it's been a while since we've had a Dominion conversation, Blair, to your comment and to the growth that they've had and experienced in this region. Last conversation was they have one person, believe it or not, that's doing this underground engineering work, which blows my brain of a company of 20,000 people, whatever it is. But we could certainly have a conversation to talk to them about the remaining three projects, speed to market, speed of entry. That's an easy conversation to have, for sure. What else on the expense side? Again, set aside the public doc and TDOC. Yes, sir.
So we've been talking about 41st, taking the ditch away and putting in pipe. I think it's a double run pipe out to the flap gates.
Yeah.
So should we throw that? Is that a 2023 discussion as well?
2024.
Okay.
41st, by the time we get permitting, by the time we finish these two projects, that'll be a fiscal 24 project, which is in the 10-year plan. Yep.
That's right. And in FY24, our forecasted numbers in our 10-year capital plan, that number includes $465,000 for piping jet ditch. And that number we received very preliminary from Thomas and Hutton, but the budget, as you see it today, that forecasted number for 24 already includes a provision for piping the ditch.
Great, thank you.
Jay? Yes. The public doc, is that going to be funded out of fund balances, or are we going to get a note?
Not a note. Out of tourism.
You know, we got over $22 million in debt right now, looks like. We're an original debt.
Yeah.
So,
not planning to do it.
You know, you asked if there was anybody had heartburn, so I need to tell you that my position from last night has not changed. I think we need to get an ADA compliant gangway going down that public dock, but I would like to hold off on spending any more money until we see if people want to use it. Really. So I have a problem with that.
And just for budget purposes, that $450, the bottom or option A on the public dock, I think was $519.
Right.
Was the smallest number. Right. So.
So we had $450. ATM is back at $519, $518.
Right. Okay. And, I mean, just a couple things on that. First of all, I think we have to have an ADA compliant, and that's the massive part of that five. Even if we just do the 500. And if we put in 500,000, we basically get an ADA compliant, and we get a dock and a floating dock that's going to last us about 5 years. And then we're going to have to more or less scrap the whole thing and start over in 5 years. Whereas if we go with the second option, the middle ground option.
Option C.
C, yeah. It's 700,000, and we get a new floating dock, ADA compliance, some minor repairs to the fix that's there, and then in 10 years when that fixed dock has reached the end of its useful life, it's easy, according to
Kirby,
thank you. It's easy to go in there and do whatever we choose to do in 10 years, which is gonna have to happen anyway, because that fixed dock's got about 10 years left. So we're not throwing any of the money away. Basically, if we go in and spend 500,000, in 10 years, when it all needs to be replaced, we're throwing all that 500,000 is going down the drain. So I would hugely suggest that we spend go with option C on that one. And the marina was originally purchased for the people of this island. Somebody mentioned last night, they asked if we've been on those gangways of the dock work that's been done recently. And as a matter of fact, I haven't, because there's a locked gate. I, as a resident, can't get there. So this would be one of the few places of that marina that we residents would actually get to access. So I think we'd be silly not to do anything, and I think it'd be even worse to spend $500,000 that's going to be more or less thrown away.
Yeah. Look, can we set the public dock and the T dock aside for just a second? Because that is a big number. It's somewhere between $450 and $4 million. That we're going to talk about. So let's nail down the other pieces before we really delve into that expense item. Desiree, what's that puzzle looking for?
No, I'm just trying to read.
Do you need glasses?
I guess.
Clarification is the $100,000 for the green space also needed in addition to the dock, or that comprehensive project?
Two separate items, yeah. So there is money in this year's budget, current fiscal 22 budget, for some green space expenses. Mm-hmm. And if we move fast enough, we may get it done this year. but that's kind of a placeholder, if you will, for whatever we don't get done or may need to finish up in the next fiscal year. So that's just the green space against other projects that have just the docks.
So essentially, we're rebudgeting $100,000 from the $150,000 that we have in this current fiscal year, in the event that we can't get it all completed by the end of the fiscal year.
Okay.
For the benefit of the public, the $250,000 that we have there for maintaining, renovating, and constructing beach access paths, that's where we're taking the matching funds from the city for 34A, which we're working towards making that beach access ADA accessible. So that pot of money will support that project, which we are envisioning being able to construct by the end of this year.
Fiscal year?
This calendar year.
Here's the jacket. She's asking for money.
That's why Douglas is all dressed up.
And to Jimmy's question earlier, too, we do have the $1.2 million ARPA money that we haven't done anything with. We have another check coming for $1.2 million this year from the ARPA that I hope it's coming. We have the $1.4 million grant for the 41st project that we have going, or will have going. I think that's the only known grant money we have coming in. We certainly have a grant writer on a contract to find us more, but right now that's where we sit, I think, from a grant standpoint.
Didn't we apply for some Greenbelt funds also?
We did, and we should hear back. Douglas was there today, this morning, presenting our request for the 34A.
Okay. That's the jacket.
That's the jacket.
It really wasn't.
Gotcha.
It got a favorable response.
Jacket.
Not so much on the fun, but the jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Kind of right here.
Does that include CARES money?
Yeah, is
it ARP?
That's American Rescue.
Right.
That's $1.2 million that we have in this fund balance, Jimmy.
Okay.
And we should have the rest $1.2 million
within
the next few months, hopefully.
Yeah.
But aren't we limited on what we can spend that on?
We are. Mm-hmm. And timing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's infrastructure mostly.
There's four or five bullet items that let you spend it, but it's within 2 years or something. I can't remember the exact number, but yeah. So Debbie's
five infrastructure.
Debbie.
Wouldn't the dock call about infrastructure?
Docks, drainage.
Well, it changes things right there for me a little bit.
John, question?
No, I was going to.
You don't even thought, man.
I was going to switch gears here.
That's all right.
And I don't know if this is the appropriate place to bring this up or not, but last week, Douglas and I met with Chief Cornett in your absence. But one of the things I brought up was we talked about the whole code enforcement and livability. And one of the outcomes of that discussion was a request to increase the number of officers or people that we have in code enforcement and livability. And the suggestion was to increase it by one person so that we could have better coverage. Those are kind of split duties right now, my understanding, with some parking.
BSO,
yeah. So, but that we could have more dedicated resources. This is a big issue, I think, to the public, to the citizens and residents of the island, that we better enforce some of the ordinances that we have in place around rentals, noise, the occupancy permit limitations, etc. And I don't think we have the resources. I understand there's a new tool to track it, which will allow these resources to better follow up on once that's implemented. But I'd like to see that resource added into this.
Other reaction or comments to that?
That wouldn't be capital, though. That would be.
No, this isn't capital.
Yeah, this is all expenses.
Yeah.
These aren't just capital expenses.
We're just seeing capital. It's the bigger ones to have there. I mean, that's why.
Yeah, because right now,
okay, there we go.
Maybe the next previous page, we don't have any, or the first page, we don't have any adds to staff right now factored into the budget. So reactions to John Forsyth, if you want to speak, if you want to say anything.
What would the cost be?
I mean, fully loaded, it would probably be 75 to
80,000
per person.
No, I am familiar with that discussion, but I don't have anything
to
add to
that. Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. You know, would another person help? I'm sure.
Always.
What's the reaction to John's? I would not disagree.
Are we trying to hire more people now?
BSOs this time of year always. Trying to hire
the
team.
So I remember some discussion of the fact that it's hard to find, just like everything, it's hard to find people to work.
Right.
It's hard to find police, much less BSOs.
Right. Yeah. Is that something that if we put the money in the budget, do we think we can make it happen?
We have a better chance with it.
How many people are going to work?
Good answer. Yeah. That's classic right there. Man. That means kind of back to John's earlier question about the economic, you know, boy, we need that same crystal ball, John.
Yeah, well, I would just say, I think if we want it, we need to budget for it, and we ought to leave it to the staff to be able to fill it. But our job is to make sure we are allowing for the resources to be there. But talking to Chief, he said that that he feels like the way, if he could structure the position as code enforcement livability, that he feels very confident that position would be filled probably over some of the other ones in there, mm-hmm. and that would be a much more attractive position to fill than some of the other ones you're trying to fill.
Gotcha. Jane?
My question is just, does it have to be a licensed police officer, or can it be?
No.
And
that's, so that gives us a broader field.
That's that comment. Yeah, you could, you broaden your field a little bit. Yeah. Sorry, folks, I don't need to answer for you.
And it's more of a full-time position where the PSO positions are seasonal.
And they don't have to be certified police officers.
Right.
I guess that's your question. You know what, we've looked at this before. When we look at the data that we have in terms of complaints and issues, livability issues that we have, there doesn't seem to be enough data to support that. But there's always the question, are we tracking the data correctly? Are we, you know, it, which is part of the reason why we have a system in place in this budget to do so. I know that the Planning Commission is looking at this issue and may be coming very soon with some recommendations. I think that it would be prudent to have some money in the budget to be able to react to any changes that council implements when it comes to short-term rentals and how we allow them, how they're managed. And assuming that that'll generate more calls for service than we have seen in the past, then at that point, I think it would be justifiable to add a position. I would like to see that trigger first. You know, changes in the way that the code, changes in the code and changes in how the expectation or how short-term rentals are managed before we determine whether or not adding a position rather than structuring an existing BSO to be a full-time position for code enforcement. I think that could be the first step, that we try that first, using current funds.
I don't know that we're changing any code. I'm not suggesting that this would be an anticipation of any changes in code. I'm saying there's codes now that we're not following up on and enforcing. In fact, we talked about, look, this is a big issue out in the community, right? I mean, people negatively impacted with their quality of life by short-term rentals, and a lot of people we find that aren't calling on it. You know, they're kind of tolerating it, and it's kind of reaching a point, and then it kind of blows up. But people aren't calling and following up. So we talked about, and I think this was done on the island, 12 years ago, is a campaign to make sure people understand that here's the code. And if you're experiencing these type of things, please call. And this would be a special number to call that would go to the livability or to the, I think, into the non-emergency number. But anyway, to build up in the community this reinforcement that if you're having problems, call so that we can better track and we have the resources then to be able to respond to it. It's not in anticipation of any short-term rental decisions that would come out of the Planning Commission that council would deal on later. I think it's dealing with our current code and enforcing it better.
Rusty?
Yeah, we have been hearing more and more noise about in the center of the island, you know, that there's more problems there. For example, it kind of shifted. I mean, 10 or 12 years ago, I used to call occasionally because people were renting a lot on Front Beach. Now most of the Front Beach homes are either primary residence or second homes, and they're not renting them out on a weekly basis for the most part. But I keep hearing, and I don't have any specifics, that down in Forest Trail, down, you know, Cameron, Hardin, some of those areas there, that there's a lot more noise than there used to be.
Yeah.
It's not me.
Yeah. And it's coming from Katie's home, by the way.
Just to build on the point and the meeting with Chief Cornett, It was expressed, well, he first did say that the calls, the volume of calls and complaints they're responding to is very low currently. But we talked about this effort to get the word out, you know, encourage people to call, not only to take care of the ruckus next to them, but to give us usable data that we can kind of measure the issue and respond to it accordingly. And that's when the chief said, well, you know, if we really were to encourage people to call, a lot and more frequently the current staffing would be thin to do that. So I thought that his kind of suggestion was initially a seasonal job, you know, clearly in the spring, that's when the spring breakers are there, that's when, you know, it's before the families start, when school's out, it sounds like it gets toned down, but it's this springtime that they could really use, especially if we're encouraging folks to call, they could use an extra person. Hopefully, you know, if they were able to stay busy and deal with the issue, keep the issue at bay, I'm sure it could turn into a full-time job.
Could I go backwards for just a moment, Joel? Just have a request of Debbie. If it doesn't have to happen today, but we're looking at all options, and I would request that you could provide us with any of the notes that we have, or which ones have an early payoff without a penalty provision, any. I know we've run into that problem before. We can't.
I know the public safety building cannot.
Cannot. And that's our highest rate, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 4.14.
So public safety building cannot pay it off early.
I believe that the there is a provision for early refunding on the two new ones.
But those rates are so low, I mean, that's why we went and did that. So you'd really be talking about rec center, which is rolling off this year. You're really talking about fire station number two, essentially.
Right. The others are so cheap. I mean, 183, the fire truck, 75-foot truck is 1.71. That's all I'm gonna need, Debbie, thank you. Because that cheap money is, you know, you want to pay it off.
So John, to your question and any other items we're gonna put up here, this may be obvious, but just to state the obvious, I'll say commercial captain obvious. Anything we would add to the budget right now is just going to affect that transfer for the most part. And again, this is a best guess on what we're transferring at the end of the year, revenue over expenses. So whatever we're talking about putting in the budget that's not in this first draft is coming out of here. And we're going to look in a minute.
If it's a general fund expense.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I think we have a slide. We already know what's in draft two coming up. Yep.
Okay, so that roughly $1 million is what we have in reserve. To be allocated?
No, this is excess revenue over our expenses based on first draft of budget. So we finished the year with $961,000. Council would vote on it. We would most likely, in the past, have transferred it to the capital projects fund. So this is, for lack of a better term, profit.
But that's our cushion also for if tourism tanks next year. We've got a cushion of $961,000.
No, that's just general fund. That's not tourism
fund.
Money.
Yeah.
Or if we were to add this officer for $80,000, you would subtract $80,000 from
$961,000.
Presumably,
because it's a general, all personnel's general fund expense, except when we transfer money in from tourism to cover particular positions.
Yeah, you might.
Code enforcement would be one.
So tourism would be would. That this officer could fall under the tourism.
We would certainly justify that, and you can increase your transfers in from tourism to cover for that expense.
So instead of $1.2 million, Katie, to your question, we would transfer $1.3 million.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But now we have a slide that's what we know for
next budget draft. Yeah, you got it.
And then I swear we're going to talk about the docs. So just to kind of frame the rest of this conversation before we do get to the docs, this slide, which you have in your packet, is what we already know that we need in phase or draft two of our budget. So we got a note from PIVA that says health insurance are going up 18%, not at an employee level, just at a city level. So that's about $62,000 for next year. We're rebudgeting police and fire vehicles that we couldn't get purchased this year just because of supply chain issues. Nickel and dime items here, and then because of forecasting ATAX money, that obviously increases our 30% number to our DMO. So that's what we know is in the second draft of our budget. Not shockingly, there's no new revenue numbers. It's all just expense stuff. So that's what's happening in our next draft that we already know about. And also based on today's conversation, John, you're bringing up other thoughts. Or any other budget initiatives, John, that you talked about? Anybody else have any of these? Yes, sir.
A couple of specifics that I haven't had a chance to review completely. Yep. I've been talking about a boat lift at the marina for the police boat.
Yes.
Is that in here?
It is not.
It is not.
It is not?
Yes. Not yet.
Well, I'd like to consider that.
Do you have any idea or number?
No.
Okay.
I mean, the boat is at the public safety building, right, now? You've been out there now?
Well, are you talking about a boat lift for the police or for fire or for both?
For both.
Okay. Yeah, they are housed in the station.
Well, see, if you have a search and rescue application, that's just not good. To be so far, we got to haul the boat down there in summer traffic,
mm-hmm.
get it in the water. Mm-hmm. And search and rescue, just minutes can kill.
I thought there was discussion about.
There was discussion for a need.
Sure. And a possible area, too, I thought, was it not?
Well, so the marina manager's lease requires him to provide space for the city for police and fire apparatus. I think in the past we did have the fire boat there, but I guess we had issues with people jumping into the boats and not being secure enough, and that's what we've talked about, the lift. It was not part of the dock rehabilitation project, but it is something that's been discussed about the desire to do that. Certainly something that we can tack on to an initiative for this fiscal year.
I'm hoping that the council will see the need for this. I think it's very important.
Yeah.
The boat is, we got a new boat, right, recently?
We have the boat from the Charleston County Sheriff's Office.
That's the one I'm thinking of, yes.
But he was here something to say. But we did have just get approved for a grant for another boat as well that the state would provide through the coronavirus grant.
Would it be hugely beneficial to have a boat on a lift? I mean, sounds like a dumb question, but just to make sure.
Yes, ma'am, it would. That's one of the reasons. It's because of the security of the boat, because it has so much equipment on it. If it wasn't on the lift, then we would need to pull it out.
But we could have it there on the lift.
Yes, ma'am.
Blair.
Well, I was getting ready to ask that very question because Jimmy's point that minutes count, putting the boat in or having a boat at the lift at the marina, you're, depending on where you're on the island, mm-hmm. you're 20-30 minutes away anyway.
Right.
And, you know, so it might be better from a first responder perspective to have it on a trailer and be able to dump it at the Carroll building and boom, you're right there in the ocean. Or Wild Dune, you know, wherever.
They've had all of these discussions, and that's a valid point as well. And we're willing to work it with whatever the city provides us, obviously.
Yeah.
Like on the busy weekends, it would be nice to have it down there because we plan on doing our staff, and so we would have officers available for the boats for those weekends, so they would be almost out there during the busiest time.
Cruise.
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
Yeah. But I know they also make emergency beach launches.
Yes, sir.
They're actually pretty cool.
Are you going to retain two boats, the new one that you've got?
We haven't gotten that far because they're so far behind with the supply chain that trying to get this boat, we just got the grant. We don't know how far out we are.
But you're planning on having,
not necessarily. That one, the one belongs to the Sheriff's Department, and they pay for all of the equipment and everything on it. So we would talk to Sheriff Rossi on it and see where we were at that point.
All right, so we got a placeholder for a lift. Let's leave it there, and we'll go away and figure out what we need, how we need, how much it costs, and get it in.
Just one other question,
yeah.
If I may.
Sure.
How about the increase of amperage in the rec building? Is that in there?
It is not in there, but we don't think it's going to be a significant amount. Haven't received the quote yet.
Okay.
We have talked with the electrician, but I think it's something that the maintenance budget can absorb.
So they're going up to 200 amps?
If that's what you asked me for.
Yeah.
Do I hear 250?
I wrote it down.
Okay, thank you.
Pass it on to staff.
This is its own little page, so I'm not sure if we should wait until later, but the additional projects items to include?
Yep.
Now or?
Yeah, I mean, it's similar where we are, either adding a person or the dock or the lift or, yeah.
So within the business fiscal, or what is the word I'm looking for? It's not an audit. audit is the word that we all use, but forensic accounting.
Yeah.
Is what the accountant told me that it's technically supposed to be.
Yeah, so we corporately, Debbie, Desiree, and I, for the last couple of years, have had this conversation about, to me, it's just good business practice to use, to audit Iowan businesses to make sure we're getting the revenues that we're due. This seems to be good business to me. COVID comes along, we haven't done that. We haven't kicked it off, obviously. But I want to put something in this year to start that project. And you can't, kind of back to the whole underground, and you can only handle so much bandwidth at a time. We can certainly outsource this. I think we can put a number in the budget, something like 20,000, give or take. I think it'd be more than enough to either start with city-owned property at the marina, Wild Dunes, pick some big taxpayer for us that where we could go do some revenue checking. Rusty.
Yeah, how much would $20,000 buy us in terms of auditing?
A lot.
A lot.
Yeah. And again, I think we'd have to pick.
It would get us a full investigation into one entity. Mm-hmm.
A really deep dive on a pretty complex entity, which takes you to, just so nobody thinks we're picking on them, we could start with our own city-owned property, at the marina, and make sure that's good, even though we just did one in 18, 17, whatever. We could do a deeper dive, and start there. So it would absolutely get us really deep on one business. And again, I think that's probably about all, given staffing levels and budget numbers, we can handle in a fiscal year.
You could get a lot for 20. That all you're looking at is revenues. We don't care anything about expenses.
Well, okay.
I mean, it's basically just it's complying with the contract, and it says that we have the right to inspect and copy books and records, and that's what you'd be looking at.
Right.
And that's what they would be asking for, but it's a lot, I mean, obviously there's a lot of records, so I feel like it would be a good use of our money.
Yeah, so again, that's probably at best a $20,000 number for next year.
So is that, but that's not in right now?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk docs.
We made it.
So again, in our current draft, is $450,000 for the public dock and $1.3 million for the sea dock. You did your homework assignment and brought the ATM. We have public dock, we have options from $520,000 to $1.7 million. Intercoastal T dock, we have options from $1.3 to $1.7. We walked through that in pretty decent detail last night, and maybe you watched the real property meeting, which went into even more detail. Thoughts, observations, Blair?
With the public dock, I think Katie's exactly right. We got to have ADA compliance, and I would support doing the medium or even the higher price
on the public dock.
On the public dock, the T dock. I need some help. I'm confused on the T-Dock. It is my understanding that the marina lease calls for the tenant to do all of the maintenance on the dock, and it's only if we replace it. She's got it.
Not true.
So
that's not true.
I'll give a little bit of
okay.
What I did this morning. February 25th, 2015. Council voted in the February meeting, Jimmy Carroll had a lot to say about his dissent on accepting this contract and the fact that he did not want to accept a contract for another 30 years that was going to lock us, the city, into paying for all maintenance. Council voted on it. It was accepted. It was signed. Revised Exhibit 5 says, the city agrees to be responsible for all ordinary and extraordinary repairs and replacements to the following property. Bulkheads, pilings, dock replacement, including floating docks and fixed piers, underground transfer lines, underground fuel pumps, and underground fuel tanks. So in 2015, we agreed to take on...
That would be a city expense.
All of it. So that's why we just spent all the money we spent there, and that's why this T-dock, it's us. And if anybody's walked on that thing recently, it's ridiculous. Like, it's got to be fixed.
It's not as bad as the other dock. If you need a comparison, Blair, follow up to that or not?
No, that okay. Answered the question. Somebody lied to me last night.
Are they in the room?
I'm not saying
it. I think the extraordinary repairs. There is some responsibility for not extraordinary repairs and maintenance that has to be that are done by the.
The only thing that the tenant is responsible for on this, and I left this part out, except damage caused by tenant's negligence or willful acts. So that's
what his responsibility.
Right.
If he runs a boat into it, then.
But ordinary wear and tear we have to fix.
That's correct.
Under your reading of the of
yeah.
The dock.
As of 2015.
The only other, I guess, thing that I would throw into the mix, and you'll probably tell me to sit down and shut up, is.
You're already sitting down.
I'm not shutting up yet.
It's a short loop.
Yeah, I've tried already. It is my understanding that there is currently an issue with the marina tenant and with parking and with the restaurant that is bubbling, and that there's going to be mediation and try and fix that. If not, it's going to lead to litigation. I would urge us to tie any improvements to the dock in with that so that we have something to come to the table with. And try and figure out this parking thing without it going to litigation. But it all seems to be interrelated to me.
let's stay on the docks. Going there, that's fine.
Yeah.
Far away.
Okay. Well, it's my understanding, too, that with the T-dock, that the Marina Joint Ventures tenant, as well as the restaurant, have agreed to, I guess, share a gate, which would keep what they call bandits away from that dock, basically. Okay?
The banditos.
So, I mean, that should, to me, that in and of itself should prevent issues where there would be overnight parking and someone going to Goat Island, say, because if they don't have access to that gate, how are they going to get there?
Okay.
So, why don't we think about separating? The only reason why we're keeping these together was for mobilization and saving $40,000. That's not a lot of money. So if we're worried about the total of 1.8 or whatever the is, why don't we separate this, work on the public dock in 2023 and the T-dock 2024, other than maybe making some Band-Aid improvements. Mm-hmm. Salmon's already did some improvements there, right, with the rub rails and some other stuff.
Only on the restaurant side.
Yeah, and so maybe we just limit to smaller repairs or whatever to lower that number and tackle them two different years.
Certainly not. Just,
okay. I would be a little bit concerned about when the restaurant opens, the condition of those docks right now, inviting people to come and use them, especially without the ADA compliance, that causes me concern. If somebody gets injured on one of those docks, we're going to be on the hook. You know, obviously whoever else is involved would be too. But I feel like the condition that they're in right now is begging for a problem. when, especially, you know, the restaurants. I mean, I think about the boat traffic that you get coming to, like, the Shum Creek restaurants. I mean, if we end up with that kind of traffic, those docks are an accident waiting, a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Think about Kirby's comment last night. I mean, there's 10-year life from his view. We would need some TLC, without a doubt. I mean, I think, Kevin, to your point, you know, walk with me for a minute. Let's say go forward on the public dock, whatever that means. Take care of whatever you need to on the T dock. I had a conversation with Kirby last night. It's not a quote, but you know, maybe it's $100,000, $150,000 to get pedestals and electric and everything up to speed out there. Some of the hardware going down on the fixed pier. To Kevin's point, I mean, we got all kind of options that we can pull off, without a doubt. I mean, we've already done some work on the public dock this year. It's usable. People are using it. We're getting some good feedback from folks that are using it now. I think our decision point is, do you tackle it all in 1 year? It's a big project. You know, if you went for the grandiose version of the public dock, you know, that's a fiscal 24 event based on Kirby's comment last night around permitting. We got a lot of options.
No, I was just going to make the point that the timing will depend on what option we pick because of permitting.
This whole number could come out of our budget if we say, I want to go with a grand option on the public dock. Well, that's going to push it to a fiscal 24 event, without a doubt. Take care of what you need to here, maybe, you know, for $150,000, whatever the number would be. And that's all we do for fiscal 23.
Yeah, because replacing deck boards or pedestals, you don't have to go and amend a permit or anything.
Correct.
Like that. You just go do
just
it.
Just do it. Right. Yeah.
Didn't we have option? Wasn't option C fully permitted based on our discussion last night?
I can't get back to that conversation.
Yes.
That's what I was thinking.
That one would require a permit modification.
For the public dock.
That's correct.
Because it's more residential right now rather than commercial.
Well, were you talking? T-dock or public dock?
Public.
Sorry.
I thought he said that the T-dock was fully permitted.
That's for your, yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That one is fully permitted, and none of the options presented would require a modification.
Right.
Yeah.
Except for the grand.
The grand T-dock. Option on the public dock.
Well, the T-dock, the
and
grand
the,
option was an issue as well.
That's correct.
Right. But the T-dock, I think we're kidding ourselves if we think that dock's not going to be utilized in a big way when that restaurant gets open. Yeah. And it's dangerous.
Oh, I don't think anybody's saying
that. It's very dangerous. And, you know, in ADA compliance, I mean, we that has to be on the table for both of the docks. You know, I know we talked about that last night as being a minimum, but my vote would be all around option C, basically, to tell you the truth.
For both?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just making sure. I mean, we need to get numbers in a budget.
Yeah.
If you're talking one, we don't have to do both. I mean, that's what I'm trying to get
right to
is where the winds are blowing here, and we'll come back at Ways and Means next month with, you know, fine tune.
Dollar amounts on those options.
It's what was used.
Option A is $1.8 million and change. Option C is $2.1 million and change. Option B, which was the Cadillac, was $3.4 million.
T-dock. Just the lowest. A is 1.3. The full replacement is 1.7, and the middle ground is 1.4.
Right.
So basically.
Yeah.
And one of the things also that I don't think we talked about last night, but we talked about in the property, was that it's actually would be faster. So options B and C for the T dock replace the floater. And I'm pretty sure he said that it's the construction time would actually be less if they replace the floater, because trying to incorporate the new electrical and everything else into an old floater would take time. Does that sound right?
Right. And then, you know, then you've also got the issue of coastal expedition still having a trailer on the lot, taking up some parking places if we don't do anything.
Right. That was a permitting.
That was a permitting issue, but he just thought it would be fairly simple.
Yes.
Jim, question you might not like, but it just comes to my head. Why was this never an issue ADA compliance when Tidaway was there?
Because it's quick. It's 20 years old, right?
In the all the plans that have been developed for redevelopment of that dock included the ADA gangway. So when Paddleway was there and when the city went through the marina redevelopment plan, that the gangway was included and was anticipated to be done, whether they were there or not, in any future replacement.
But I guess to Jimmy's question, you've had a business operating for a lot of years on city property without an ADA gangway. How's that work?
I would say two things. One, it's somewhat grandfathered, but two, you didn't have anybody get hurt. I mean, fortunately, as soon as somebody gets injured, I mean, at least from my dealings with city of Charleston, you know, people slipping and falling on sidewalks, I'm assuming it's the same for, I never had a gangway, but I'm assuming it's the same. You look at ADA compliance, and if it's not in compliance, then it's, you're liable. So They were lucky.
I had a theater in Mount Pleasant a few years ago, and we had to make sure the theater was ADA compliant. Getting into theater and getting into the audience was no problem. But the stage, we had to build a ramp on the back of the stage to make sure it's ADA compliant. And I was asking, you know, what's the problem? I mean, I don't think we're going to need any actors that need access. Turned out we did, after all. But they said that, my legal counsel told me that it's not so much the waiting for somebody to get hurt, it's waiting for somebody to come in and see what you got going on and file a complaint.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Can't access.
Yeah, before anybody gets hurt. So I just wonder, you know, if people are saying, why has it not been a problem until now?
Yeah. And maybe nobody's filed, nobody's gotten hurt.
I mean, just because you haven't been struck by lightning yet doesn't mean that.
It could happen today.
Well, plus it just reinforces what we're already on record for, too. We said as a council this past year, we made a resolution or whatever it was, that we would try to do everything we could to be over and above in ADA compliance. Right. And we've had some hits, and we had a miss or two. But I think we need to live up to what we put out there to the public last year.
Just one more point I made now. November 7, 2017, the citizens went to the polls, and the city was requesting $5.5 million in a referendum for all of this work. The 69% of the people that voted said no. We had responsibilities to fix up the marina, and I went along with all of that. And we spent pretty close to that amount of money already, and now we're looking at, if you went with the Cadillac plan, another $3.4 million. So we're up over $8 million. My question to myself, and you know, I don't have to answer to yourselves, but the optics of this, how do we explain this to the public?
Is that rhetorical?
Just saying, you know, we said 69% of us said we didn't want you to do anything, and I said, well, no, we have to, according to the lease, we had to make repairs, so we went ahead and did some things. I'm saying, I wish this would have come up when we did the initial work, all the stuff that we just finished doing. I wish it had all been done at the same time, because it's just kind of like scraping an old wound.
But the numbers wouldn't have changed. Right? So whether we bid off, we did our bond for $4.5 million, give or take. I mean, sure, part of the reason we did what we did, those were the absolute worst docks.
Yeah.
Absolute block.
I'm not disputing that at all.
I know, but I'm just saying, if we would have said, let's just do the whole marina right now, we would have had the same conversation about options, and we would have bitten off $7 million, pick a number, you know, in debt if we had wanted to, or use some of our reserves. So I don't mean the number hasn't changed, kind of to Kevin's point on these two, you know, what would have changed would have been the mobilization and demolition cost. You know, we could have saved a buck here or there around that. But those numbers were still going to be in our, whether we did them 2 years ago or 2 years from now. So, you know, go ahead, Kate.
We also didn't have a public dock 2 years ago. or we didn't
don't,
have.
Don't scrape that wound.
We didn't have access to, I mean, but no, I'm dead serious. I mean, we did not have access to a public dock.
Yeah, you could have done the T-docs at minimum that
right,
didn't have
but, and the restaurant was just, you know, in the beginnings of construction, and it just, I mean, I can see how it seemed logical the way they did it. I mean, to me, it kind of makes sense. I mean,
No, I'm just nodding. And I don't mean I'm falling asleep either. I'm agreeing with Katie.
It's like there was a deep thought right now. Jan?
I think there is marina expense fatigue in this community. You know, it's a black hole we keep throwing money in. Once we get the restaurant open and things functioning down there, I think some of that will dissipate because we will be glad that there's a viable. I mean, we're still throwing money in a hole and seeing nothing yet come out of it. So I think that's one of the things. Maybe it's more timing than anything else that we need to talk about. The public dock improvement will benefit everybody in the community. So that seems to be an easy one to do. Not the Cadillac, but the middle ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know about the T-docs. I don't know how long we can wait on that. But that's the one that seems like maybe we push it off a year or two. Can we wait that long, or is it the kind of thing we need to do right away?
Well, I mean, if you listen to our consultant last night, he's got a 10-year life, rough numbers. But you're going to have to put some money in the T-DOT this year, regardless of what we decide. We're going to have to do something, whether it's $100,000 to pick up some of the hardware and board replacements and electricity and pedestals. And so we've got to do something. It doesn't have to be $1.3 million, but we've got to do something.
And then if you, whatever you do to that, however long you think it's going to get you. So, I mean, let's say $100,000, then you're throwing that $100,000 in the trash.
Right.
Well, then you got inflation.
Yeah.
It's the money today worth a lot more than money 2 years from now.
But it's just how much can the community tolerate in an additional fund spent down there? That's really what my question is. Not that it isn't any of this need, but how much can we tolerate?
I'm with you. $6 million on the public safety, 4.3 on the marina drainage. I mean, there's a lot of fatigue.
Well, there's a lot of need.
But right. I was just going to say we have to do it.
And we do have a contractual obligation to maintain those docks.
Right.
We can't make that go away.
Yeah.
I mean, Exhibit 5 does not go away until 2045.
Blair?
Do we want to vote on
this? No votes. We'll bring it back to Ways and Means in April. Just trying to get some sense of which way the wind's blowing, and right now it feels like a whirlwind.
I would suggest that TDOT's doing something sooner rather than later because of the potential liability. And the one
on the
TDOT? Yeah, and the 1.4 option appears to be the prudent option. I know it's a lot of money, but that's what I would support.
Jimmy,
would you mind going over the discussion we had last night when I had a question about the repairs versus the maintenance on the docks, and what is our responsibility, and what is there? The question revolves around the amount of money, the 1% of the insured value of our fixed assets, buildings, things like that, what that covers and what it doesn't, because if I understand correctly from last night, the docks do not qualify for that.
No, I mean, we do have a provision. I think it's 52 or 53,000 for the marina as part of maintenance. Certainly that's some money that we could be used for the public dock or the T-dock. I mean, it's just money that the city sets aside every year for basically maintenance contingency. So that's already built in. We can use that.
But, you know, if you think about it from a common sense approach, anything that's sitting in salt water is going to deteriorate pretty quick. So where I'm trying to get at is there a provision? Is there any way that we can set aside a sinking fund to cover this so we do regular maintenance on the dock so we don't look at this again in 5 years or 10?
Well, I think that's the crux of the issue.
Right.
So if you you went Cadillac on both versions, for example, then you're set up for, what did Kirby say, 25-year life of new docks, and we would set aside maintenance money, just like we do on this building, public safety building, anywhere else, in our budget every year to take care of the ongoing routine and regular maintenance. Absolutely.
We will.
Am I answering your question?
Yes, sir. That's exactly what I'm getting at.
Because we have it set up on the new docks we just put in.
I'm sure we have.
Correct.
Yeah. Right.
John.
Are we saying we have a reserve? Or we put a budget in 15 and then if we don't spend it?
It's not
a
reserve.
It's not a reserve. It's
a budget provision.
It's a budget item.
A reserve. Are you, Jimmy, I don't understand. Just to clarify, are you talking about setting a reserve up so you put $50,000 every year so in 25 years you've got enough money to spend on the
It's not a reserve. I think Debbie can explain it better than I.
Yes,
it's $42,000 for maintenance.
In our current budget.
It's just maintenance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if we don't spend it, we roll it over.
Well,
see, the problem with the marina that we had is the citizens voted to purchase it, and we did, in my opinion, went 20 years with very little maintenance. Until now we inherited a big mess and we had to spend all this money. I just want to try to get a provision of where it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, so unlike our beach reserve fund, for example, that one builds and keeps building and keeps building until we use it. We have 6 million some number in the beach reserve fund.
There's nothing here for that.
These maintenance funds, for every city property, there's a line item, to your point, every year for maintenance, roughly 1% of the value of the building.
Insured value.
Insured value. We don't use it, it goes away.
Right.
I mean, it's not, I mean, that's a decision point, certainly. But again, if you, depending on what we wind up doing with public dock, TDOC, again, replace everything, you're golden for 25 years. We keep 1% going and keep the maintenance up as opposed to what we've all inherited. Kevin, to your point, a public safety building, a marina that was in disrepair. I mean, we all inherited this, and unfortunately, we had to spend that kind of money in the last 3 or 4 years. So, yes, Kate.
I think talking about the timing of it also, I think it is also important to look back at the change that was made in 2015, is that the city was not responsible for the maintenance of these docks until 2015. So the fact that they are, that this is kind of all feeling like it's coming back to us at the same, so sudden, I mean, 2015 was a little while ago, but not terribly, especially in the lifespan of a dock. So, you know, it wasn't the city's responsibility until then, and now it's. So we can't undo that. And
so nobody was responsible?
City is.
The city is.
City is responsible.
But
before
2015, nobody was responsible for anything?
No, the marina the leaseholder or tenant was responsible. But
well, see, that was the city's mistake for not holding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2015 was the flip.
Yep.
Was that a good thing?
No. But I think it's
that was 7 years ago.
Well, things would be a lot different if we didn't have the 2015 lease that was put in place, for sure.
Can't go back.
Right.
So
no, we can't go back.
So why don't we just figure out a placeholder for both docks?
All right.
For
so
purposes.
What we have as a placeholder, these two numbers are in our budget, 7, give or take.
Because when they're going to be done is going to be depending on permitting. Because even the permit on the public dock has to be amended for a use.
Right.
Yeah,
but
that's really it. Yeah,
right.
That's a paperwork.
But it's still going to change when we get started.
Correct.
And
well,
same thing with the TDOC and what we settled on. So.
Yeah. Don't disagree. So let's, but I mean, we said on the TDOC, let's just do minimal maintenance, whatever we can do. Let's just use 100,000 for a second. I mean, we would pull that off this fall. We came over here and said, I want to do the $700,000 version on the public dock. Mike could do that this fall or spring, depending on permitting. Because again, we don't want to do anything in our window of busy season for sure.
Right. Well,
so,
you have design and drawing.
You do.
Yeah.
And
so,
APM's already contracted to do that work.
Yeah.
So that's sort of been done.
I mean, the construction drawings, all that.
No, we just contracted them last month to do that work.
So I hear you. I don't disagree with you. So that's what we did with the first draft. We got a placeholder of $1.7 million, rough number, $1.8 million. So leave that there, ratchet it up.
I'll say 700.
For the public top, option C.
I put it at 2.1.
Which
is the 1.4 on yeah. the TDOT and 700 on the public.
I feel the same.
Option C on both options. So again, so we'd be going from 1.8 million in our budget to 2.1.
It's about 350,000 more.
Yep.
Yep.
Going once.
So.
We're not making any decisions, right?
Not making any decisions.
Just out of curiosity, we've talked about so much. What the public dock, we could probably have that completed within a year, so it belongs in the budget. With the TDOT, with permitting on that, is that going to be more difficult with this one?
No.
But it'll be a little bit
longer. Actually easier. The permitting on the TDOT is easier.
Okay. So it's just a matter of how long it takes to design and get construction. So that could actually be started this year as well.
Yeah. Yeah, the only thing that would kick you to 24 is the Cadillac on the public dock. Yeah, or the Cadillac on the other two. I mean, it probably wouldn't on the TDOT to your comment, but if you went with the all-in version, option B on the public dock, it would absolutely push this to fiscal 24 here.
Because I believe the permitting that we have in place for the TDOT is to make an ADA compliant gangway, to remove those finger piers and move out.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think that.
Exactly.
The only change would come is to accommodate Coastal Expeditions
right.
on the fixed pier and have that change in use, which shouldn't be really complicated.
And the last question is
promise
for me is the funding on that, is it coming out of
tourism?
Yeah,
on in any scenario, I think it's
90%.
It's coming out of tourism. Jan, you don't have to pass it. You can ask it. But at 3 o'clock, man, Rusty.
And as to the question of whether people will utilize these docks or not, I would just refer back to the movie Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. I think in the restaurant's case, they're going to come anyway. They're going to be coming to a very dangerous dock if we don't do anything.
Yeah, you know, it's been encouraging so far, and we haven't even announced the public docks open. We just put the sign up yesterday, Robert, I think, mm-hmm. around all the things you can do on the public dock. So we haven't even announced it. Just put the sign up. You know, the parking's been there for a little while, and I know I've gotten a number of texts. You know, not hundreds, but certainly tens. You know, people are using the dock, very much enjoy it, appreciate the resident parking that's right there beside it. You know, and that's just with very basic, minimal changes to that dock. You know, not any green space, not any entrance, not any anything. So I'm hopeful, Jimmy. I hear you. I know Kevin. You and I had a conversation last night too about, you know, will it be used? I just think, you know, that marina is going to be such a gathering spot when that restaurant gets open. I'm really hopeful that the changes we have with the landscaping and the walk around on the edge and the new dock, I'm really hopeful. You know, we'll see, but I'm hopeful based on early returns. Yep.
Just worth mentioning that this budget also includes about $7,200 for Coastal Expeditions to provide IOP resident outings through on the dock. So we're thinking that would be a way to introduce the dock for users as well.
It was like three or four events or something.
Two events a month.
Two a month?
Yeah, two events per month.
Other?
I think we beat that one pretty good.
Well, I don't know. Only an hour last night and 45 minutes today.
No, an hour and 35.
And almost
two other topics today.
And almost two hours last week.
Through a property.
Property.
It's good though. A lot of interest.
So our next steps, we'll adjust the budget based on today's feedback, positions we've talked about, the tweaks we've talked about on the docks, the marina, any other items that we have captured. We'll bring draft 2 to the April Ways and Means meeting. This is kind of best case scenario. If we have to have two readings, public hearing, have to have it ratified by the June council meeting, but hopefully back it up here a little bit. Draft two next month. First reading would be an April council meeting. Yeah, but there are those plans. Public hearing, second reading in May, and we could ratify it later than the last meeting in June. So that's our best guess. So we'll go crunch some numbers based on all of today's feedback. Debbie or Desiree, bless you.
Can I recap what I've got on my notes? Okay. Provision for additional code enforcement in the police department. Provision for two boat lifts at the marina.
One.
Well, do we want one for PD?
Are we giving the county boat back if we get one?
Well, there's a fire department meeting.
There's a fire and a police boat.
Oh. $20,000 for an audit provision. Business license type. And then we'll do option C for both the TDOC and the public DOC.
Is that right?
Head nod around the room.
Did I miss anything?
No. We will.
Desiree?
Yeah, just one thing that kind of small, but we want to move to a year-round palm tree trimming schedule rather than every 2 years.
Thank you.
Drives me nuts. So we're changing that. So we'll include that expense also in the next year's budget.
Yeah.
And did you mention the forensic audit?
Yes.
Yes.
We have.
Okay. Yeah. $20,000. What else?
Did we miss anything?
We need better snacks.
Please don't like this in front of me.
Guess who's in charge of staff for our next meeting?
I'm not capable of
not eating. No other business. Is there a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Second, all in favor? Thank you, guys.